Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. But it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHope. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHope, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
Hey everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of The Undercurrent. I'm your host, Tara Sloan, as always, and I am wishing each and every one of you a very happy new year. I hope you had some time to rest. I hope you had some time to celebrate. I hope you were surrounded by people you love, and I hope you just experienced joy in whatever form that took. For my first podcast of 2025, I want to introduce you to some incredible difference makers in the hockey community. With their organization, Hockey Equality, Shante Eastman and former NHLer Anthony Stewart are helping ensure that hockey's next generation is provided equal access to gear, to ice time, to education, to opportunities all throughout hockey. And this is through four pillars: grassroots, development, advocacy, and mentorship initiatives. They do such incredible and widespread work. They've really helped nurture and support hundreds and hundreds of children and youth in the Toronto area. Beyond, there's so much demand for what it is they do. You will hear this spoken about in today's program, that really the demand is unceasing. And it's worth noting, Chantel and Anthony are married, so you will find out they complement each other beautifully. Yin and Yang. They're just a fantastic couple and they do so much good in the world. So here are Shante and Anthony talking about hockey equality.
Shante, Anthony, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
I am so thrilled that you could join me and I know how busy you are. So thank you for making the time. So I'm going to just start very simply by asking, what is hockey equality, Shante?
That's a very loaded question. we are a charity, just trying to do work in the minor hockey community and beyond that. We started off as just an advocacy piece for young people to lower some barriers and access to hockey. And we've evolved over this short period of time in the last 4 years to so many things. And a lot of it has to do with Anthony and his story and how he came up in hockey and just trying to give back and help the next generation. So we think that we could really make a huge impact if we just make that little bit of effort.
And I know you already are. Anthony, if you could sort of, you know, give us, obviously your story would, you know, it takes a lifetime to tell because that's what you've lived. But, you know, tell us, like, you know, what part of your journey has led to this point and your drive to make hockey more accessible?
Well, I think for Shante and I started Hockey Equality, we were sort of doing it based on the help that I received as a youngster, right? Mm. And, you know, when I was younger, we didn't grow up with a silver spoon in our mouth. I don't even think it was a wooden spoon, but you know, we had a lot of barriers, mainly financial, with the game of hockey. So we had a lot of families go above and beyond to make sure that my brother and I, my brother Chris, who played 700 plus games in the NHL, that we had rides to the rink, that, you know, we had equipment, we had food. You know, I remember, you know, times saying, hey, you know what, if I score 3 goals, maybe the family will take me to McDonald's or Mr. Sub after because I was hungry. So, you know, when now understanding some of the barriers and what kids at this age go through, that's what I went through. So, you know, when we do our camps and we do our skills clinics, we make sure that we have snacks, we have drinks. And, you know, it's funny, you see some of these young kids coming in and out of the, you know, building with 2 or 3 Gatorades, take as much as you need, because I remember being, you know, that young kid. So for us, it's, you know, going above and beyond for the community that supported myself and, You know, it's funny. We always get advice from charity advisors, and I said, I don't vote. I don't vote, but the way that I change my community is from within and the day-to-day work and really impacting these youngsters. And I think the measure of success for me, it's not me going out and playing in the National Hockey League or being in broadcasting. It's me now seeing it's my civic duty to come back and help. And that's how we make the change that we talk about. So I'm grateful for it. And you know, it's funny, we sit in a lot of meetings with, you know, high-level executives, and we say hockey equality. We are the weathermen and weather women with forecasting the future of the game. And you know, I remember sitting, you know, at the draft 2, 3 years ago, telling them about a Zane Parekh and a Malcolm Spence and a Kayshon Achis. And we knew these youngsters when they were 14, 15 years old, and the mentorship and the sense of community helped mold them into the players that they are. And they, as equally as great players as they are, there are more outstanding young individuals, and that's the impact, and that's what we're most proud of, you know, to date.
Shantae, take me from, you know, when hockey equality launched officially to where you are now and how much you've grown.
Well, I would say when we started as Stuart Hockey. Anthony was retired. He wanted to help kids and you know, he said, Shante, can you help with some of the accounting, some of the admin work? And he'd run skates. And I'd be like, how many kids are on the ice? And he slowly learned to lie to me about how many kids were on the ice because there was always more kids than that paid. And
Right.
Anthony was always, he had a hard time with him when he knew that families were struggling with these high costs of hockey. He was just like, oh, it doesn't matter. Just come. There's already 20 other kids. One more turned into 10 more, turned into, you know, all these families that he was supporting out of his just own personal Stuart Hockey group. And COVID hit, and the rinks wouldn't allow us so many kids on the ice. And then the ice prices started to go up, and we started seeing kids drop out of hockey, like in those really like formidable years. And we were just like, we can't afford to do this ourselves anymore. Like, we can't help the growing number of kids. And we were like, what do we do? And that's really where this was born in 2020. What was great during that time was that, you know, I would say the world started listening to the experience of what we consider equity deserving people and people of color and what they were going through in the world in general. And it started to highlight some of those issues in hockey. And we went and said, you know what, we don't want to just be another hockey program or another house league. We want to actually be able to get other people who are on board to donate and help these kids, and how do we grow it in the right way? And we registered to be a charity in and back in February 2021 is our official charity status registration. And that year we started putting it together. One was the biggest thing that Anthony said was our mentorship program. There was kids that were 13, 14, 15 that were just not making those transitions. And we saw there was diversity in hockey, but they weren't moving up the ladder. So we said it was mo more than just athletic development. It's about academic development, character building. And we started with that. And when we started with that, we actually invited an executive from the NHL to come to one of our mentorship summits. It was our South Asian Mentorship Summit, where we had these high-end South Asian hockey players that were just looking for that extra push and that extra help. And Zane Parekh was actually one of them who was just drafted to the Calgary Flames, I think ninth overall, Anthony? Was it ninth? And it was Rob Knesarik, and he came. And he just came to be in the audience. And then we turned to him and we were like, do you want to speak to the kids? And he was like, yeah. And he got up on stage in front of these young men, and he started to pour out his story and give his words of encouragement and inspiration on how he became part of the hockey community and the pathways you can take. And I think that was when they realized this was just, it wasn't about just financial barriers. It wasn't just about making kids make it to the NHL. It was about more than that. And they locked in that year in a partnership with us, and they've been with us ever since with the PA alongside them. We grew with on-ice programs, financial assistance programs, equipment programs to help with those financial barriers. And then that same year, David Amber actually came to Anthony. And it was, we were kind of surprised because he himself, David Amber, in all of his glory and what he represents in Canada, in the media, in hockey, his own son was dealing with an issue. And he said, Anthony, can you come talk to the kids, the team? And Anthony sat there and said, and we were like, yes, of course, but what do we say? And that was that point where we were like, this is growing into more. We have to have a plan. We don't just go in there and just talk. It, we have to have something planned. And that was what birthed our accountability project, which we have these workshops and we talk about these issues right there with the kids. And it has grown into something that is such a positive experience. And we're not sitting there and telling people that we all have figured out. We're saying, hey, let's work at it. And I think that there was parents left there in tears, hugging our accountability project leader, which is actually a man named Roger Cratchlow. And that has now grown. I think we've done nearly 100 seminars at this point, just in dressing rooms, just right there with the kids and talking to them after a maltreatment case, after an incident within their team. And they thank them for coming. They thank them for talking about this elephant in the room and helping their kids through it. And we've just grown with that. And in 2022, we started our Black Hockey Summit, which is the world's largest youth hockey camp that prioritizes players of color. And we have kids that come from all over the US, all over Canada, just for a week of looking around a dressing room and seeing people that look like them and seeing people that want to be here for a great experience. And it has grown to 500 kids last or this last summer. And Anthony talks about it growing beyond that. I was like, I don't know about that. I think it's a little bit too big at this point, but it's all positive, right? And where we're on now is just watching the a few of those fruits of our labor. Those Zane Parekhs, Kevin He just made history, the first Chinese-born NHL contract holder. And this kid came out of Montreal. He immigrated to Montreal. His dad, he's been a big part of our program. It was a huge like win for all of us to see that happen. And we had Ty Henry get drafted this past year to the Chicago Blackhawks, who was somebody that we personally had to even have in our home to just help them along. And Zane went to school with Ty as well at Blythe Academy. We have a scholarship program out of Blythe Academy. And it's really rewarding now to start to see this pathway connect all the way up the ladder, right? And so, and Anthony's obviously the biggest part of that because you can't, Anthony, what's your quote? If you want to know what the path is ahead, ask the people coming back.
But I want to say something about just Kevin He, because we the Sharks played Winnipeg the same day that Kevin He was signed. So we talked about it on the broadcast, and I mean, what a wonderful thing to see the growth of you know, what we want to consider a global game, but it's just getting bigger and bigger. I want to talk a little bit more about, I mean, I know you know, your four pillars are grassroots development, mentorship, and advocacy, and the accountability project is part of that. Is that, Anthony, is this something where it's an as needed, like somebody like David Amber, who for our US listeners, people might not know, he's one of our foremost hockey broadcasters. You know, if somebody calls you and said, we had an incident in our locker room, you come in, or are teams at this point asking you to come in and sort of just lead education session?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, right? If there's a situation of maltreatment, yes, we come in there, but I think it's equally important to do the prevention, right? So we want, because a lot of times when the situation happens, a lot of the people say, well, we didn't know. We didn't know we can say this. We didn't know we were not able to do this or act this way. So I think going in there beforehand and chat with some of these kids, I think it really, really helps in preventing stuff down the road. And obviously we tailor the conversations different, but from a team that's U9 versus U16. But when we talk about interaction and that's what you want, some of the younger kids, they get it more than the older kids. And I think that's really how we instill this change and talk about what is acceptable versus what is not and sort of the consequences. But I don't think it's more so coming in a finger waving and saying, racism is bad, don't do this because you're going to get in trouble. I think it's, showing empathy towards what people go through. And for myself, last year, myself, Jamal Mayers, Mark Frazier, George LaRocque, and Al Montoya, we went and shared stories and did these presentations for the NHL team. So we were in the locker rooms, and a lot of these players were still my peers today, said, we didn't know you had to go through these situations, and we didn't know. And it's easy to say, some players from Europe might not understand the customs or traditions of North America, but they were probably the ones that came and said, hey, how can we help? What can we do? I didn't know this. What can we do to help? So I think it starts with the conversation and getting to the kids when they're younger. But I think it's just spreading the word. And it's one thing to do an online video and you check a box, but when you're there and you're speaking and you feel the realness and you hear the realness, that's how you make the change. And it's empowering to me. And every time I finish, it's heavy going in and having the conversation. But when you see the parents and you see the kids that are hugging, some of them are crying, you're like, you're really making a difference. And what we talk about is, kids are going to make mistakes, and we need to understand we're dealing with children. And if we're all judged by our worst moment, but what we did when we were 12 or 11 years old, I don't know. I don't like the direction that society is going. So we talk about rehabilitation and, forgiveness and finding ways to create that empathy so it doesn't happen again. And that's what the accountability project's all about.
And Jamal Mayers, by the way, part of our broadcast team with the San Jose Sharks. So I get to see him lots and lots. Shantae, something you said about, sort of the time during COVID, certainly when George Floyd was murdered, the pendulum started to swing and there became this increasing awareness. I would venture to say at this point that the pendulum is swinging in the opposite direction. There's a lot of negative sentiment. Walmart has, for instance, removed its, DEI mandates. Like, is there any pushback at this point, or is this momentum too strong? And I certainly hope it is.
I honestly, we talk about that a lot. We do feel that we are losing a little bit of traction in the D&I space, but the one good thing is that these last few years has put the people that are at the tables to push it themselves, and it's empowered them to be like, we continue to need this. So yes, we're going to see that type of stuff happen, but for the people that really care about it, we're still pushing for it. And it's not about, I feel like a lot of people think D&I is similar to, like we're just trying to put people in jobs that don't aren't qualified and things like that. And that's not really what we're doing. I think for us in hockey is that we would like there to be an understanding that what it took to get one player to AAA at 15 years old could be very different from another one, and it's very hard for these for people to understand that. And I feel like if they did, there would be a lot more respect to where somebody got, like somebody like for you, for example, a woman in media, is doing a lot, and it might not be as easy as your male counterpart. And you want there to be that respect factor that, hey, like we understand that your experience has been a lot more difficult than mine, and I have a little bit more respect for you for that. And I think that similar to, Kim Davis had talked a lot about being almost overqualified a lot of the time to get the same job. I remember the NHL did a YouTube of Dante Abercrombie and Nathaniel Brooks, if you
Yes,
remember.
I do.
And they were given an opportunity as two Black coaches to help be part of the Arizona Coyotes training camp. And everybody's like, wow, they're getting this opportunity to be part of it. And the one piece that I remember in that made me think was the general manager said, I remember when I got to be part of a training camp when I was a young coach to learn all these things. And I was like, wait a second. So back then, they were allowing you, as a young coach who was very underqualified, to even be there. You got that opportunity. So we're celebrating it for these two Black coaches, but you yourself are saying that you were allowed to do that back then. So we have to think about that, is what was the in place that he was able to do that so long ago, and what are we not putting in place for our young Black coaches now to be given that opportunity? And for example, Anthony talks about, sorry, I'm blanking on the name of the general manager out there in San Jose.
Mike Greer.
Oh, Mike
Mike
Greer.
Greer.
Art's
And
our
a
dude,
lot
yeah.
of people, Anthony had said his brother is also a general manager of an NFL team, was
Yes,
it?
the
And he's been
Dolphins,
in
yeah.
that place for years. So it was like, he's not, it's not a new person that just came out of the woodworks. Like, this is somebody who's been in place, has been working towards this, and is really overqualified at this point and has just waited for this opportunity now. Right. So I think that that's what people need to start realizing is that D&I is not about, giving somebody opportunity they don't deserve. It's about understanding the plight that got them there and having a little bit more respect for that and giving an opportunity where it's needed.
Amen. Thank you for that. I want to talk about the people who are buying in and the organizations that are buying in. Anthony, some of the partnerships that you have, I know the GTHL is one of them, obviously. The NHL loves what you're doing. Who else is on board?
Well, I think the NHL and the PA are our biggest, advocates. And Rob Kinesarik, he gets it, and he's of a Jamaican and Caribbean background, so he understands the plight. And he comes from Flemington Park, which is a rough end, part of Toronto. And Chris Campoli has been advocating for us, a lot, because he knows I lived it. His family used to come and pick me up and bring me to practice. And I remember sometimes, and he always gets mad at me for bringing this up, that traffic was too heavy and he couldn't make it to pick me up, so I'd have to miss practice. So they've been great. The GTHL have been amazing partners in supporting us and giving us the platform to really go out into the dressing rooms and talk. And I'll tell you, it's sometimes it's difficult conversations between us and the GTHL, but they give us the respect and the opportunity to say our piece and have a hand in dictating some of these changes. So I think what's understood is, it's not going to happen overnight. This is generational work. And when we put it in perspective, a lot of the issues, we sort of get let cooler heads prevail, because there's been times where we've been so frustrated where it's where we get loud in some rooms. But kudos to the GTHL and really providing us that opportunity. Dale from CCM has been a great advocate. And for him, when we mention a player, he sees the exact same thing. When we say, hey, this player is going to be the next female Sarah Nurse, he's like, what can we do to help? What can we do to help? We need to get her stick skate, whatever you need to go, whatever you need to do. That's been great. But a lot of support have just been, I'll tell you, from the families, right? We offer a lot of subsidies, but I'm telling you, the families pay it back in full by coming out, supporting, volunteering. We do a lot of trips to Maple Leaf games or Toronto Scepter games, and the parents are like, hey, if you need any chaperones, we'll come. You need anyone to drive, as you need us to pick up food or help support that, the parents. So it's almost like we've created this our own little ecosystem of helpers and volunteers, which is great. And one of our major sponsors as well is Canadian Tire, and they understand creating a pathway for some of our players. And they've been supporting us in our junior hockey program and our equity deserving for coaches, because we're not just trying to create opportunities on the ice, but off the ice, and give opportunities in coaching, massage therapy, scouting, agency stuff as well. So When we talk about being the forecast, the people that we're seeing in our ecosystem are stars. And as Shante mentioned, they just need the opportunity to get in the room. And for me, everyone's asking, hey, when are you going to take an NHL job? It's like, well, I own a junior team. I do media. I do scouting. I can drive the Zamboni. So when I sit in
Can
that room
you?
and I'm advocating for a job, they ask me, what can I do? I could say, well, what can't I do? So that's sort of what I'm waiting for. So again, I don't know if I want to deal with the pressures of being a GM. I'm a bit of a pushover, so I'm happy in the game that I am. But Shantae would make probably the best GM because she has no problem telling it exactly how it is.
I don't know if there are any co-GMs in all of sport, but I feel like you balance each other so perfectly that, you're kind of the dreamer, and then Shantae will kind of bring you back to earth.
He's the application of the ideas, yes.
I do want to point out their MLSE though, and the Toronto Maple Leafs have been a huge advocacy piece with Mark Fraser. They are incredible in what they try to do. Mark has really tried to take his role and just do something different that's never been done before. We are very good friends with Bernice Carnegie and all the work that she does. And we really just we're trying to just grow our connections across all advocacy groups. We work with the Three Nolans as well, and all the work that they do. We have a community partnership with a woman named Rose Powers, who does an organization called Sport a Rainbow. And that is a big piece of what we do because she's a former a player herself, and she just wants to grow that inclusion across all sport. And yeah, like we just have a lot kind of going on. Matt Nichol and Paragenic Systems, they were a huge piece to us because we had all of these, young athletes. I'm like, they need to train. Who's going to help them? And Anthony always talks about Matt Nichol and how important he was as a role model for Anthony as a young athlete. And he jokes that, I don't even think it's actually a joke that if he had met Matt Nichol earlier in life, he would still be playing alongside Corey Perry. And I really believe that's the truth because there wasn't a lot of mentors back then. There wasn't a lot of places you can go and talk. There was the Scarborough Boys, as Anthony calls it, that crew of young men that were, scratching and clawing at the NHL every year and training together and enjoying life together, and having each other was a big part of what grew the success of Anthony, his brother, Wayne Simmonds, Devo Smith-Pelly, all these young men. And we're almost trying to take that same idea and say, hey, we're going to give you a peer group that can push you and that you can talk to and try to work alongside, and then go off onto your teams and out into the world, but know where you can come back to home. And that's what Hockey Quality has created, is this home base. We love talking about Zane Parekh, but actually, I'm just on the tips of posting a video where he actually spent his Mem Cup day with Hockey Equality because he had the trophy of the cup, and he calls me up and he's like, I have it for a day and I want to bring it back to the kids and show them the trophy and show them this. And it was a really just positive thing that it was so simple to just, I told him next time he has to bring a Stanley Cup, but that's a thing a few years down the line. But that's, it's part of that. It's having that home base and all of these community partners create that alongside us.
First of all, yes, the Stanley Cup is certainly not out of the question. And it does sound to me, I mean, you use the word community, you're creating a community too, and it's a cliche, but it does take a village. And so you're creating these support systems that are so multi-tentacled. It's incredible what you're doing. And this leads me to, Zane wanting to spend his day with Hockey Equality. Anthony, so many players, of note, want to help you guys too, right? Like Wayne Simmonds, you mentioned, Darnell Nurse. Like, what is it that makes them so desiring to give back to their community?
Well, it's funny, right? And I was doing the hockey quality chores or duties, not even knowing the impact of it. And Wayne Simmonds, 17 years old, my brother, I trained with T.R. Goodman in L.A. And you know, my brother wanted to replicate that success, so he moved down there for the summer, but he didn't know how to
My
drive.
house. It's my house.
And he said, well, can I bring my friend Wayne with me because he knows how to drive? So Wayne and my brother lived at Shantae's house for the summer, and they trained and they drove her car, and you know, we paid for their lodging and their foods and all that. And Wayne ended up getting drafted, you know, second round by the LA Kings. So we were going above and beyond to help some of these youngsters coming up. And you know, my brother had a hard time making it through his minor hockey journey, and he made the Kingston Frontenacs as a walk-on. And you know, Shantae, you know, was finding ways to motivate him. And she said, hey, I'll give you $100 every time you score a goal. And we didn't anticipate it, but he ended up scoring like 18 goals. So,
And he spent it on his first tattoo.
yeah, so we've been going
So
above and
good.
beyond. And you know, myself and Wayne and you know, my brother, you know, we used to have to go wake up Devontae Smith-Pelly and get him to the gym and make sure he's training and you know, making sure he's fed. So we were going above and beyond for these athletes, just helping them in their journey because it was the right thing to do. And I had some, you know, people help me with that. And so naturally it's them, you know, and almost just not repaying their debt, but understanding, you know, how it impacted them. So when I call or pick up the phone, you know, they have no reservations in coming out and helping, right? And you know, Darnell Nurse, who's a star in the National Hockey League, you know, he remembers just, you know, me having conversations with him when he was younger. Same thing with Akil Thomas, right? And you know, it's funny. I was asking a favor. One of our players was going through recruitment for one of the universities, and Lenny Childs was the assistant coach at the college. And you know, I called out to ask for some help in having this player get there. And he says, hey, I'm not sure if you remember this, but I messaged you on Facebook 12 years ago for some help and some advice. And I'm not sure you knew who I was, but you helped me. Thank you. So I'm like, I didn't really remember that thing, but it was the right thing to do. And that kid now ended up getting a scholarship at that university that Lenny Childs was at the time. So it's this little interconnections and intersectionalities that, you know, we and the webs that we create that just come back full circle. But it comes down to, you know, when we talk about change, it's not a noun, it's an actual verb, it's an action. And it's not about giving money. It's just giving your time and energy and repaying what, you know, was given to you. And it's simple for some of these players just showing up, and they understand it because they see the faces. These aren't just, you know, names on a sheet. They're there. They get to feel it. They see the kids. They see the families. They see the impact.
And I will say I want to add the story of Josh Hosang. And I didn't know Josh. Anthony knows him and trained him in his off season. And I heard about him for a while. And he came out to Black Hockey Summit this past year. And I stood next to him chatting as Anthony was announcing something to the whole group. And he just turned to me and he just said, "You know, Anthony's such a great guy. That, you know, he's the only person when I was just going through a rough time, just reached out and said, 'Hey, how are you doing?' And he's like, it, that little thing meant so much that somebody just want didn't care how I was playing, just say, 'How are you doing?' And I think sometimes, like Anthony said, it's that simple. And for as a young player, you know, Anthony and I have known each other our whole lives, and I watched Anthony go through the OHL and the NHL and the struggles of it. And it was difficult. It was difficult. There was a person that you never saw cry, have tears in their eyes, you know, at in some points. And these young people, you don't want to see them go through it. You try to prepare them, but we've learned that you can't save them from a lot of it, but you could at least be like, I know what you're going through. Because I've lived it and I've been there, and here's how to build some resilience in yourself, and here's how to get through it. And that's really what the NHL players are seeing. They're seeing like, oh my gosh, I remember going through that as a kid. And I just if I just have to stop and sign a few autographs, if that's all it takes, then I'll do it.
It's right. You're right. I mean, those moments stick with kids forever, right? Like one little fist bump, and that's your favorite player for life. So I can only imagine how many other organizations or people are reaching out to you. I'm sure if it were up to Anthony, you would again be growing exponentially. but let's just talk about the future and what it holds. for Hockey Equality? Where do you see this heading and sort of future partnerships going?
Well, I think for us, we get advice all the time, and the one thing that keep is a constant is you can't be everything to everybody. And we've learned the hard way on that sometimes, but again, with us, when it comes to giving, there's no amount too big or too small. So for us, we're always just trying to grow and connect with like-minded people. And over the years we have with Mark Frazier and the Three Nolans, we've connected with Mark Bergen, whose son plays in the BCHL, and he's part of BC Hockey. And he, was directly involved in the mentorship and development of Caden Lidstrom, who went, third, fourth overall in this year's past year's draft. So we want to help, we want to grow, but what we don't want to do is grow too quickly. But we have 1,500 kids onboarded, and I can tell you, Shantae knows every kid, every family, every sibling, what sticks they use, their skate specs, and what they need as far as mentorship, financial assistance, etc. So we're connecting with like-minded people. We do a lot of work with Seaside Hockey and Kirk Brooks, who I've known since I was 10, 11 years old. And we've been a big advocate for his program, because just seeing him at the grassroots level and these kids, how the sense of community that they've developed over the years is very, very great. So we've worked with some people at Hockey Canada as well. So we're just slowly chugging along and finding like-minded people and adding to this train here, and we're doing our best to try to conduct it. But for us, this is generational work, and we're in year five of probably 2035, and we're very happy of our progress so far.
Shante, anything you want to leave us with today?
I think what, for the future, what I feel like is really exciting is growing is what Anthony's talking about is outside of the players, those players turning into young coaches, turning into physiotherapists and wanting to be agents and the representation growing in other aspects. I think that was always part of our goal. And I think starting to see that growth is really where we see ourselves going. It's a lot of these young people that are coming and saying, "Hey, I think that I would be a really great assistant GM, or I want to work in analytics because I want to do more of that type of stuff." I think that's the exciting part to start seeing those connections happening. And I always tell like Anthony that, I know we made it when, I see that black Zamboni driver because it has to connect all things. And, we have our kids down. My daughter plays out with the Scarborough Sharks and they do have, people of color working in the rinks. And I think the kids just need to see that. They need to see it in all facets of the game. And I think it's gonna make a really big difference. But again, like Anthony says, this is not a light switch. It's generational work. So we are here for the ups and down that roller coaster. And we might be in the down right now with the importance of D&I getting lost on some of these large corporations, but it doesn't change our goals and our work. We continue to move forward.
Well, I appreciate you both so much. I am grateful for you, and I'm grateful for the time you took with me. So thank you, and I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thanks, Tara. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, just a huge thanks to Anthony and Shantae. I just love them so much. They're so fun to be around, but obviously what they do is so important, and their passion for this is so contagious. So thank you to the both of them. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back with another episode quickly. This actually was supposed to come out last week, but some family stuff got in the way. So I'll have another episode for you coming next week, actually. And in the meantime, you know what I'm gonna say? Keep your sticks on the ice and your fins above water.